And as you sit, we pray together. Father, we thank you again for this celebration of this Christmas time of you amongst us. And we pray, O Lord, for a stillness of our heart and mind, that we may enter into your silence and know your blessing. And we pray this for this day, but this coming year too, that we will learn to be humble and quiet and receiving. In your name we pray. Amen. So this is a three-part series, and congratulations, you've reached the third part on silence. And we've been seeing over this season about silence and God and our faith. And that quote that says, actually, I think it's from the Apocrypha, so hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. While gentle silence enveloped all things, and night in its swift course was now half gone, your all-powerful word leaped from heaven from the royal throne. Gentle silence enveloped all things. 2,000 years ago, nothing happens or seems to happen, and yet everything happens. And God then working in the silence, and we've been seeing, reflecting through this Christmas season, that God comes in supreme humility. Silence and humility go together, making himself nothing. The whole emptying, silence of being emptied of everything but love. Cardinal Sarah, in his book, The Power of Silence, says of the life of Christ, from the crib to the cross, silence is constantly present. Silence, humility, in order to love. We've seen that God works in the silence of nature. And we know in our crazy world of noise and busyness that the ultimate reality will be found in silent humility. And that needs to speak to us as individuals, but also a world facing catastrophe through overconsumption with climate change. So we need to be silent. It is where God works and can be found. And we also saw over Christmas the evidence from those who practice silence. Sarah Maitland, a current writer, talks about going from a life of very hyper sociability to a life where she builds 2 or 3 hours of silence into her day every day, and talks about a positive presence, not a void, but a rich space. She quotes the British nun Tenzin Palmo, who spent 3 years in the Himalayas in total silence, and when she came back, all she could say about the experience was, it wasn't boring. And Thomas Merton, who went from his life, a hedonistic life, in his autobiography, The Seven-Story Mountain, he talks about the silence that enfolded me, spoke to me, and spoke louder and more eloquently than any voice. And then there is the medieval writers who experienced so much of this in depth, The Dark Night of the Soul by St. John of the Cross, where he is a monk, but he loses everything. He loses his status, he's rejected, and he loses his faith. But in giving himself over to silence, he is infused with a power and intensity of love that subsumed his free will. He said, a love that makes everything seem possible, a love that cannot understand how anyone could waste their time doing anything other than seek the beloved. And so we continue then on this theme of silence today, and we've got art to help us today, because there have been many words, and you have this booklet that I hope you can, if you wish to, see and take away, and we're going to see also on the screen, so it's up to you whether you follow in the booklet or on the screen. But what clearly we need to do is practice silence, about now how to do it more. And this is, it is about our faith, isn't it? It's moving from belief, I believe these things, to actually bringing into our heart, our being. And how do we do that? By handing over ourselves, all that we are, our desires, our wishes, our fears, our concerns, our loves, our hopes, all of that is just passed over to God in the silence. And that is the practice of faith, allowing God to come in and fill us. So in this reflection on the art, there's one or two that I put in, but mainly it's by a book, Art and Silence, by Sister Wendy Beckett, who, as you probably saw, died the other day. So it seems appropriate as well to be celebrating her work again. And if you saw, she talked about the incredible life of happiness that she's had just by simply being in God, by her life as a nun. So we're going to reflect from some of these. I'm going to pause after about about 6 or 7 images. And then we'll hear some music. And I'll ask you to take into the music prayers that we, for their own intercessions, all the people that we pray for and the major situations around the world, all of our concerns about Brexit, who knows what utter mess is going to unfold in the next month or so, and the things about climate change, and then this new, well, it's not new, is it, but the channel crossings of refugees, all of these kind of insurmountable problems and difficulties, and all of the people that we just wonder, might wonder where God is, but trusting that he is working there in the silence, and to remind you of those people that we pray for, and that they will be blessed by God working in their lives. So for Godfrey Parry Jones, Stacey Van Niekerk, Helen Bennett, Hazel Shearing, Stuart and Rosie Glass, Alex, Alistair Carlisle, Brian Lynch, Irene Packham, Rob Hedges, Helen Mannion, John Ryland, Emma, and those who we grieve for. Pray for Sue Woodward and her family, and the grief for Jeff, and others in pain. That we trust that God is yet at work, and if you'll be praying as you hear the music about all these concerns and our church coming into the following year, that we will be blessed, that God is working away whatever we're doing, and more, and for your own self as well, of course, and your own concerns. So there'll be two periods of music to hear to reflect into your own prayer, and then of course the silence of communion is a time again to just bring all of those prayers into the silence. So the first of these images that we're going to see is this Annunciation by El Greco, and we were saying that the silence does start with the Annunciation, Mary's silent acceptance, I am the Lord's servant. And it's kind of emphasized that it's a small house in a small town, in a small country, just a backwater of the world, and yet all the profundity of the universe is going on. And heaven rejoices with El Greco's picture of foretaste, of light and music, glory, the same when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And then God is represented with a burst of brilliant light, a radiance spilling down from the heart of the music, and then the outstretched spread wings of the Holy Spirit. And again, the promise that the Holy Spirit will again brood over the face of the earth as at the creation. And you can see, surely, the contrast between the exuberance of heaven and the stillness of Mary, the humble, silent acceptance. I can't understand this, got no idea what's going on, really, but I humbly accept what is happening. Sister Wendy Beckett said, when we are quiet, steadying our mind, looking at the things that matter, the Lord can give himself to us. So starting with then the Annunciation. And then of this Rembrandt here, the woman with a pink. Sister Wendy Beckett talks about a deep creative awareness of one's inner truth is what distinguishes us as humans. People kind of talk about all the time, isn't it? What makes us human? How are we different? And she suggests an awareness of one's inner truth. All of us, she says, have at heart a seemingly boundless longing for fulfillment. And it's reflected in many of Rembrandt's paintings, but you can see here what the woman with a pink is lost in the depths of her private reflections. And the dark background is painted so because it's all unimportant. All what is always important is simply her focus, her being in the silence. Greater expression is given to the soft light on her face. She's visibly silent, encountering the mystery of being before God, of being human. And she doesn't really look at the carnation, which is an emblem of love, but she is within. The silence is penetrating within her being. She is quiet and engrossed. She is completely still. And you compare and contrast that with this one by Perugino of St. Mary Magdalene. And he's painted this in a kind of, to show the flippant side, I suppose, of St. Mary Magdalene. She is almost just a name that is given to the painting of a young, beautiful girl. She's silent, yes, there's no words coming from her, but you can see that she's not focused. She's yet unprepared to accept the seriousness of living inwardly. She floats on the surface of her spirit, pensive but not committed. So she could easily be distracted. She's probably a bit of daydreaming going on. And this silence cannot be transformative. Real silence is both supremely simple and yet not easy. Sister Wendy Beckett says, it draws us into a dimension always open to those who allow themselves to be centered. But centering bars us from many irrelevancies in which we take a guilty pleasure. In other words, there has to be a real centering, a stillness of the mind, a real focusing, a focusing on God. And it may be the Jesus prayer helps. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, sinner that I am. That we can just pass away, put away those distractions and just be focused on our silence into God. This woman here is not yet ready. She's not yet ready for real silence. She's not ready to let herself enter in. And then there's this one before we, this here, that's the Tower of Babel. We know that silence is stillness before God. And in this picture of the Tower of Babel, you can see all the chatter and noise that can just go on and just the chaos that is there by all the talking. Anyone who comes near the monstrous tower is consumed, consuming all who labour on it or are near it. And we heard over the Christmas season, didn't we, about Kierkegaard talking about the disease of noise that is all around us. And C.S. Lewis, the devil wants to get rid of silence and music. He just wants to fill everything with noise that we can just blot out the presence of God. And then into here, this picture of 1993 of the gate, where we can just see all the complexities of our existence, lines in confusion. There's hints of it, there is some order behind it, but we're not quite sure what that order might be. But as we move, and as we move to the centre, the lines grow ever more clotted and chaotic. It's as if we cannot truly understand ourselves. We are full of impulses and contradictions inside of ourselves. There's all of our relationships going on. But there is a promise of finding our way through into knowing who we truly are. There is the gate there to enter through. And there is a possibility of just entering in through that gate and finding out who we truly are in God, allowing the silence to open us up within, to go through the gate, to be free. So that one, maybe, perhaps we'll come back to that when the music's playing, because you may just like to gaze into that and just picture yourself going through a silence into yourself in God and just unraveling who you truly are in God. And then there's this one, the next one, the Magdalene reading, a much more sympathetic picture of Mary Magdalene here. And she's reading the scriptures. But again, this cannot be complete silence, because how can you be silent if you're taking it in? You can't be. And so Mary Magdalene in this picture is silent, but she's reading. And of course, both are needed. We need to read the scriptures. We need daily reading of taking in the word. But there has to come a point after the reading of just being in the silence, of just handing self over to God. And then the last one before we do here, some reflect with some music, this Untitled by Rebecca Salter. And it may seem that nothing is going on here at all. It may seem it's very passive, and that may be seen what's happening with silence, but silence actually is intensely active. And the work is this work, Sister Wendy Beckett tells us, is both alive and moving, and yet it is still. Both alive and moving, and yet it is still. And it's one of those you just have to gaze at and take in and be moved into. It goes beyond words and reason and so on, because that's what we're doing. We're moving beyond our reason and entering into a soul experience before God. There was another experience yesterday. Jenny and I went to the Annie Albers exhibition at Tate, and there's a beautiful six paintings there of prayer for the Holocaust. And again, you could just sit and gaze into them. And there's no words, are there, to say about the Holocaust, but you can just sit and gaze into it, and there's somehow this prayer going on into that. So passive but intensely active, alive and moving yet still. A few more to go. Back to where we were. So Vermeer, a young woman with a water jug. And what does silence do then? And then opening up a light to us, exposing us with an almost merciless radiance, revealing the beauty of the real. And Vermeer focuses on the light, only visible it can't actually be aware of the light until it falls on something. It falls on the material world. It shimmers on the woman's white headdress. It glimmers on the copper jug and ewer. Ineffable softness on the walls. Every element in the painting celebrates the presence of light, revealing and transforming. And that is the promise, as the people of the saints have discovered, as they've handed themselves over in silence, that light comes to our lives and transforms us and gets into our soul to transform us within. And then the next one, another abstract one, Epiphany by Robert Natkin. And then here, attempt to show light in itself, free from any material context. And like pure silence, the experience removed from the concrete and celebrated as a transforming peace. It's not, you're not meant to understand it. You don't have to think, work out what does that shape there or that colour there mean. It's not meant to be understood. It's meant to be entered into, to just gaze on, to be taken into, and again, just being in a silence. It's called Epiphany. It's a revelation of glory. We enter into silence, says Sister Wendy, to let the holiness of mystery take possession of us. We enter into silence to let the holiness of mystery take possession of us. And the more you gaze, the more you will see, not in understandable images, but just in the pure experience of what you're entering into. But then a more literal depiction can also help us, maybe. And some of these you'll relate to better than others, I'm sure. But this one of the Queen's House in Greenwich by Ben Jonson, and the sense there of utter stillness, and how long can we hold that utter stillness before we get bored and distracted? 5 minutes, an hour, a weekend, 3 years, as the nun did in the Himalayas. But as we stand motionless and still, becoming more potentially our true selves, it's not outer reality that silence reveals, but our own innerness. And just being completely still, as in that image there. But then there's another stage that can be held out as a promise of those who want to go on this route, and depicted in this picture here by Raphael, St. Catherine of Alexandra. And she is in a rapt state, is she not? She's lost to everything but her contemplation, her comprehension of God. She's leaning carelessly on the wheel, the Catherine wheel of her martyrdom, and that wheel curves inexorably toward the heavens where she truly lives. And the saints will tell you, don't try and seek the rapturous experience, because as soon as you do, you're bringing in your own will and your own self. The rapturous experience only comes by simply, or not simply, but it's hard, to keep handing over yourself to God. And then those who do enter into this relationship with God will at times discover and experience this sense of the rapt, of being enraptured by God. St. Catherine in rapture. And then the promise of where we're heading to, from the earth, from the brown, the weary, the world, across Holy Island, the luminous, the glory, this picture here by Craigie Atchison. There's a hope, there's a promise. If we do this, our lives, what is God? His love, joy, peace, hope, goodness, patience, kindness, all of that, then we receive that glory. We receive him into our lives. It has to be desired, it has to be sought. And the view of Holy Island then does show those fundamentals of moving from this world to another world. It is still the same world. It is just glorified by the presence of God. And there is a way across. There's a small ship there, if only we care to take it and go. And then the final one, just coming back then to the Nativity here with another Rembrandt. And just that utter stillness again. Nothing happens, but everything is in the still silence. Cardinal Robert Sara, Jesus comes to this earth during a peaceful and silent night while mankind is sleeping. Only the shepherds remain awake. His birth is surrounded by solitude and silence. All is happening, even though nothing seems to be happening. God is at work in the silence. And so in conclusion for this Christmas season, then to practice faith, the devil believes that Jesus is the Son of God. anyone can believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but actually how do you take it into your being? It has to be by this focused prayer, by handing ourselves over, because that's what God calls us to. In the bleak midwinter, what can I give him? I give him my heart. And the practice of prayer is to hand over our heart, our soul, our being, that we can be infused, taken over by this power of the presence of God, and to do that, to keep doing that into the silence. Some people say it's selfish to pray about my own needs. Absolutely not. It's absolutely crucial. You have to, because that's where you start to hand over your own needs and you hand over your whole self to allow God come within in power. So I think we'll go back to the Craig Yatchin for the next bit of music. That's the promise. The promise, perhaps you could see your life on the shore here, and then what your life could be in the glory as you hand over your life to God in the prayer, in the silence.